Of the air conditioner problems, I've decided to change my sermon topic to preach on hell this morning. Just kidding. I remember one church I went to, First Baptist Church of Manchester, and I was preaching along, and I got in the middle of my sermon about the point where everybody's getting comfortable and dozing off when. And it was a holiday weekend, so a lot of the regulars weren't there, including the people working up in the sound booth, and there was a bunch of teenagers there. In the middle of my message, there was suddenly this terrible feedback loop. You know, it's when the speakers just start making this awful screeching sound. Of course, it made everybody jump. Everybody went silent as they were stunned. And I said, well, we know it's been a good Sunday because we just had the hell scared out of us. So. It is good to be here. No matter what the temperature, it's a good atmosphere. And I'm glad to be here. It's always good to hear something rousing on the piano by Alice. It's good to be greeted by Charlie J. It's always good to be in a worship service that has been planned by Jeff and the very capable staff here. This is a good place. I'm not just among fellow believers. I'm among friends, and I am grateful that I'm given this privilege to speak to you today. I would also like to take a point of personal privilege and say thank you to all of you, this church, because you allow the Fuller Center for Housing to have an office here in this facility. My wife, who is here visiting today, uses that office and is quite grateful for that generous gift. Many of you also have volunteered with the Fuller Center for Housing in different projects. People like Darren or Judge Self or Respice Carr, Len Heinzman, and John Carson. And I know I'm missing some people, but you are truly partners and a great help in this ministry. It's only about 3 years old, and so on behalf of my wife and I, we want to say thank you to this church and all that you do to help make this ministry better and to help so many people in Macon to have a better place to live. I'd like to read from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. And then the King will say to those at His right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and we gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you in, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of those who are members of my family, you did it unto me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me in. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you. Then the Lord will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I love being a campus minister. I love ministering to college students. I see some Mercer students here. And I am so excited that I am given that honor and privilege by the Georgia Baptist Convention to be with college students all the time. They are at such an exciting time in their life. They are making so many decisions about what they'll do and where they'll live and who they'll marry. It is an exciting time, let me tell you. And they are asking so many good questions. Two of the questions that almost always seem to come up with young people as they are examining their life and their purpose is, who am I and what is my purpose in life? It's interesting that just this weekend, I was talking to a young Japanese girl about that very thing. Along with a number of Mercer students in the Baptist Collegiate Ministries where I serve, took 25 students to see the Atlanta Braves. Many of these students had never been to a baseball game in their entire life. So they were very excited. They learned how to do the tomahawk chop. They learned to do the wave as people raised their hands and shouted around the stadium. And we taught them some of the rules of baseball. We had a good time. We saw the fireworks show afterwards. They loved it. But on the way home, I was talking in particular to this young Wesleyan college student. She's from Japan. And I asked her what she was studying. She said, I'm studying philosophy and religion. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. I told her I'd been to Japan two times before, that I loved the country. It was very beautiful. I said, but I had the impression that Japanese people are really not very religious. They're very spiritual, but they're not very religious. About the only time they go to the temple is when somebody in their family is getting hatched, matched, or dispatched. She thought about it and she said, you know, you're right. She said, we don't go to the temple very much. We are not very religious. So I asked her, I said, but you're studying religion. Why are you studying religion in a country that is not very religious? And she said to me, I'll never forget this. She said, I want to learn about the eternal beginning, the eternal creation of man. And I said, very interesting. And so we talked about what I believe and about Christianity and about how I believe who I am and how I came about. And as we began to talk more and more about love, free will, and our eternal origin, I began to sense in her that it wasn't just an academic question for her, but that it was personal. And I said that to her. I said, I think you're not just studying the eternal origin of man because you want to study that. I said, I think you're interested in that question because you want to know your own personal eternal origin. And she said, you're right. Isn't it interesting that even in a country that is not very religious, even students there are asking that question? And this is a great question that we all need to ask of ourselves. Who are we and what is our purpose in life? Now, as Christians, I believe that we are all God's children, that we are all created by God, and that we have a purpose to make disciples. In the Great Commission in Matthew, the 28th chapter, it talks about this. When Jesus is about to leave the planet for the second time, he tells his disciples one last important thing, and that is, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We as Christians are missionaries. We are called to tell other people about Jesus and his love. We are called to share his love, even if it's by giving food or water, visiting somebody who's sick or in prison, or inviting them in to their very own Fuller Center for Housing home. We are either missionaries or we are a mission field. When you become a Christian, we are to be about sharing his love all over the world. We are missionaries or a mission field. This was a quote I got from Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you know her testimony. She lived in the Netherlands during World War II, and she and her family were very involved in helping to save Jewish people from the Nazis. And they did this at the peril of their own lives. They could have been killed for this event, for this offense, sent to the concentration camp themselves. But she was a Christian, and she believed that God had given her and her family a mission to help those people in their time of need. We are missionaries, or we are a mission field. I love college students. They are so full of life, and I love to see it when they find their own personal mission field. I had a student in my office just this week, a Mercer, a former Mercer student. She's now studying at Middle Georgia State. When she started at Mercer, she was studying medicine, nursing. She wanted to be nursing. But her grades weren't doing so well, and she realized maybe that God was calling her to something else. And she was interested in education, so she began studying that. This summer, she served as a Baptist Collegiate Ministries summer missionary, and she went to Baxley, Georgia, to work at a camp called Camp Hawkins. And it is a camp that is a ministry to special needs children, people who are physically, mentally handicapped, limited in some way. And they invite them in for a week. It's a wonderful ministry, not only to these children, but it's also a ministry to their parents. If you know of somebody who has a special needs child, many times that is a 24/7 job. Very emotionally and physically draining and taxing. So it's a vacation for these parents. And these special needs come, and each child is partnered up with a student. And one of those weeks, my student was ministering to a little boy by the name of Michael. And Michael had Down syndrome. He had attention, hyperattention deficit disorder, and a number of other things. He was 8 years old, cute as could be, but he always was still in a diaper. He usually was able to go to the bathroom, no problem, on his own and everything, except when he's having a really good time. And at Camp Hawkins, he and Dawn were having a really, really good time. And they were in a kiddie pool, and everybody was swimming and just having the best time of their life. And poor little Michael, he just wasn't paying attention to his body. And the next thing you know, we had what I call a Caddyshack moment. For any of you who've seen the film, something happened in the pool, and everybody noticed that something was in there that shouldn't have been there, if you know what I mean. And there was screaming and yelling, everybody trying to get out of the pool as quickly as possible. And of course, Michael was all confused and didn't know what. And he went up to my student and gave her a big hug. And then she found out who had caused the problem. But you might think that was something bad, but she was glad, because Michael was having a really good time. I asked my student, I said, "Did this summer mean anything special to you? Did it have any life-changing consequences?" And she said, "Yes, it did." She said, "I had been studying nursing, found out that wasn't for me. Now I'm studying special education, And this summer was a confirmation that I am exactly where God wants me to be. And for me as a campus minister, that is music to my ears. To find out that my students are finding out where God wants them to serve, where their mission field is. She knows that she's a missionary, that God has given her a purpose, a call on her life. And God has given each of us a call on our lives. I don't care what your age is. I don't care how limited you are. If you're vertical, you are a missionary for God. If you're a Christian, you are a missionary for God. And God has some mission field for you. It might even be in this country. It might even be in this city. You never know. We're either missionaries or we're a mission field. I had the honor and privilege of serving with the Georgia Baptist Commission on a team that went to Haiti several years ago. If any of you remember, Haiti suffered a terrible earthquake back in 2010. And I was able to go just several months after this earthquake on a disaster relief team. The Georgia Baptist Convention has lots of fascinating ministries, but this is one of my favorites other than Baptist Collegiate Ministries, of course. And we went there to help rebuild the country. About 250,000 people died almost instantly as their houses fell upon them. Another 100,000 people died over the next couple of days and weeks and months from injuries they sustained. And we went there to work on a church. We were in a suburb of Port-au-Prince, which is the capital city of Haiti, and we went there to rebuild a church that had been totally destroyed by the earthquake. And I was one of the, if you can believe this, one of the younger members of the team. And we went to this church, and we were putting up the trusses, the rafters on this church. And I was way up high thinking, oh my goodness, I hope I don't fall and hurt myself. And of course, a lot of people who were in the neighborhood and around were wondering the same thing and were all gathering around to watch. And we attracted quite a crowd in no time. Of course, we're making lots of noise with our nails and hammers and everything. And after I took a break, one of the team members on our team said, Chris, I need you to translate for me. I want to give a message from God to the crowd here. And I said, sure, I'd be glad to translate for you. Of course, in Haiti, the local language is Creole or French. Many people speak French. And I learned French when I was a missionary kid in Africa for several years growing up. So I said, sure. Jeff, I'd like to translate for you. And so he went and he shared with 100 or so people that had gathered there about why we were there, how God had sent us to be missionaries to their country, to help them rebuild their country, to help share the love of Jesus there in their midst. We had a captive audience. They were all so glad that we were there to help. But most of the people who were listening were not Christians. You see, in Haiti, about 80% of the people there practice voodoo. Christians are very much a minority there. And after we shared this message, I had a young man come up to me. And he said, I want to join this church. And I said, praise the Lord, that is great. I said, what's your name? He says, my name is Junior. And so I said, Junior, this church would love to have you. Love for you to join and be a part of them. And I want to introduce you to the pastor. Do you know what the name of their pastor was of this church? The best name ever. Pasteur Dieu donné. What that literally means is pastor, God given. How about that? That's a great name for a pastor. So he was able to join that church and able to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know, I thought that I was going there to build a church, as in a building. But God had other ideas. He used us to help build the church on the inside as well, with people and new members. God has a mission field for you. You never know how God is going to use you to help make the world a better place. Go and make disciples. This is the Lord's command. To all nations, teaching them all. We can make a difference. We can share his love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful Sunday we can worship. Lord, we pray that we will be inspired, that we will embrace the calling that you have given each of us to find our mission field, to help bring water to the thirsty and food to the hungry, and to invite those in out of the cold and rain. Lord, help us to share your love with all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.